Hi, this is Mark Wade, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 361 of Longbox Heroes. I'm Joe, joined by Todd. Todd, how are we doing today?
I'm doing fantastic.
That's good to hear. I understand there's ruminations, rumor and innuendo, if you will, that some big things are happening this week.
Lots of big things, I think.
Right. Now, one of the big things I want to actually touch on, pulling a curveball on you, one of the big things happening this week is the end of Secret Empire, which I repeatedly call Secret Invasion for some reason.
You do that a lot.
I do. That's how distinct these things stick out to me. So, I just thought it was funny, before we get into the meat of the show, that Marvel themselves went and spoiled the ending of their book, not only 2 days in advance, as opposed to the usual DC 1 day in advance, but that their writer went online and complained about Marvel's spoil. Well, not complained.
He defended it.
He defended it. Whereas 4 or 5 months ago when this book started, and that's the other thing, I wanted to take this time right up front to issue an apology, a retraction, whatever you want to call it, to Marvel, to Nick Spencer, to Tom Brevoort, and the 4,000 artists that they had working on this book. I said on this podcast, with them adding issues to this book, with it tying into other stuff, with them saying that every book is matters, that this book was going to be late. And Todd, gosh darn it, it wasn't late.
Nope.
So I want to apologize. Marvel, I know you're listening. After you get your morning coffee, a donut, maybe 2 donuts.
Maybe 3 donuts.
That's me. You go to local grocery stores around here and you don't need 2 donuts. The 1 donuts are as big as 2. Anyway, I do want to apologize. I'm not reading your book. I'm glad Secret Empire is over so we can move on to other stuff.
2 things about that.
All right.
The fact that you were completely wrong about it is
right. I'm a man of my word. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I admit it. And move on and never talk about it again.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about it for 1 more second.
Ah!
It was another one of your valiant efforts.
Whoa.
And 2, we have to find someone, because we didn't read it, to explain Secret Empire to us. Because somebody trustworthy, though. Because I want to know what happened, but Joe, I don't want to read it.
Okay. I can tell you what happened.
Okay.
Because I'm not a... Well, I can't tell you here.
Right, I understand that.
I'll save it for the end of the show.
Okay.
It'll be after the boop and the everything else.
Okay.
Yeah,
Marvel
may want to spoil their thing that they want everyone to read. I don't want to spoil Marvel's thing that I'd prefer if everyone would just forget about.
Okay.
Right.
Now we can move on.
Okay. So, we do have a little bit of news to talk about. It's been a little bit of a light news week. It's like everyone's taking the summer off to not do anything. But conventions are not taking the summer off, as there is a bunch of them happening this weekend. There's a ton of digital sales, digital freebies, of course. We're going to get into what we read from this past week, which is Archie number 23, Generations Thor. I'm not saying the whole big full long title. It's Thor.
Right.
And Dr. Aphra Annual number 1. We're going to be talking about what we're most looking forward to coming out this week. We're going to go in to see if there was any art attacks this past week. And, of course, we have Todd and Joe Have Issues, where we're going to be talking about Batman number 242.
So. Action.
What was that?
I would say action-packed show.
Action-packed show. We'll make the most of it, I promise. So. We talked at length last week about the ongoing issue with the upcoming Marvel Legacy variants. And more stores, since we discussed it last week, have gotten onto the train of saying they're not going to be stocking all of those either. And these are more and more big name retailers. Now, I will also say this, that our local retailer did inform me after our show went live last week that Marvel did bring those numbers down of how much you had to order them by, but they only gave you 2 days to make your decision.
Right. Final order cutoffs and all that stuff.
Right. So, when all this shakes out, which we won't know for sure what the real final order cutoffs and so forth are going to be, what, at least for another couple weeks, I think?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Right. I think it's 3 weeks. Because that's like when the solicitations start rolling out. And while they say that like this week is your final order cutoff, but the real final order cutoff, anyway. They play fast and loose with the final order cutoff, is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, one, if that just means those books are going to be that much more rare and therefore be more expensive on the secondary market, and then the retailers are going to have to get them anyway.
Well, they won't have to get them anyway, but the people who want them, you know, supply and demand, that's what it comes down to. But I don't see, if they didn't want to buy them when they were, you know, you had to buy extra copies and you exceed, meet or exceed, why would they want to buy them when they're gouged?
Well, it might come to a point where they end up deciding that they do want them.
Okay. You mean like the next round that they have to buy?
Right.
Okay, because I'm thinking of the books you already bought, you know what I mean? You can't go back and get them, if that makes any sense. I was confused as to what you were saying.
What I mean,
but aren't they only doing it for 1 month?
They are only doing it for 1 month. But what I'm saying is, like, let's say some retailer, you know, gets notified, like, for some reason, like, one of the books becomes super hot and they definitely want it, right?
Right.
Or they have a ton of their customers come in and say, oh man, how come you didn't get this one? How come you didn't get this one? How come you didn't get this one? Because Todd, as you may or may not know, not every person in the world keeps a meticulous list and knows what books are coming out when and what variant covers are coming out then, which they should.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that come into comic book shops that may not even know that this is a thing.
I can guarantee that.
Right. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're talking 4% of the retailers, on average. 4% of the retailers have said that they're not going to do this. So that still leaves a lot of them out there, but it's a lot of the big retailers here with this.
Okay.
So, you know, they're going to have a bunch of people come in, and eventually one of these big retailers are going to be like, okay, we've had enough people come in and say, we want the Spirits of Vengeance lenticular cover. All right, well, let me see how much it is. Get it for them, because as you also may know, there are other customers that don't know that you could also get comic books online.
I see that a lot.
Right. So that's the customer base I'm thinking of. Like, there's levels of how into what's going on in comics you are starting of, I show up at the comic book shop anywhere from once a week to once a month. Either I have a pull list or I just look for the stuff that I want. Two, people who go every week. People who go through the previews and have a general idea. To people who have a pull list and come every week. To people that are looking at trends weeks and months in advance. People are looking at the comings and goings of writers and artists and so-ins and so-forths on books. You know, there are people who just buy, let's say, Doctor Strange, because I like Doctor Strange. Don't care who's writing it. Don't care who's drawing it. I want Doctor Strange.
Right.
Well, I want every Doctor Strange cover. You didn't get this Doctor Strange cover. Well, I want it. I'm going to go somewhere else. Can you get it for me? So on and so forth. And there's going to be enough of can you get it for me's that, you know, I can see the retailer, you know, saying, well, you know, no, I can't. Or biting the bullet for a loyal customer and trying to find them online or wherever it is, you know?
Right. I don't see that affecting things a lot. Because sitting in the shop, as I often do, I see a lot of it, and I see our local retailer too. It's like, oh, like I'm looking for this. and it's not something that's current. So you can't reorder it from Diamond. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it'll be like, well, I'm looking for this. And he's like, well, blah, blah, blah. And can you get it for me? And he's like, anything that I would do, you could do to get this book. Mm. And I'd have to have you pay me to do it. Like, I'm not, and not in a rude way. Do you know what I mean? Like, he being honest, like, you want this book that's, you know, 3 years old or 2 months old and hot. I don't have it. So I have to go to eBay or other sites to find it. So why would I do it for you when you could do that yourself? And I'm just going to have to charge you more to do it, and it adds more work for me. Now, granted, if it was a loyal customer who paid a lot of money, you know, then you go do it. You suck it up and do it. But I don't see retailers jumping through hoops for things that they're not going to make a buttload on the way they are the books that they get their discounts on. Like, how much can you mark it up?
Right.
If that makes any sense as to what I'm trying to say.
This just seems to me you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, a headache for retailers.
And the sad thing is it doesn't have to be a headache.
Right. So that was the other side of this is this going to be enough of a hit that Marvel's finally going to decide, let's not make this a headache for retailers anymore?
Nope. I would bet the farm on that.
Right.
When you're giving me numbers, like, and I granted our numbers aren't perfect. If you're giving me numbers like, oh, 4% are going to boycott this.
Right.
And even some of the bigger retailers, that's still 90, you know, some person, I know it's 96, but I'm giving some leeway. 90% of people who are going to try and get those books. Now, how much is it? I don't see Marvel, like, nothing has changed Marvel's business attack. People have been complaining about this for years, and a lot of people don't buy what they can't buy. I think the numbers are crazy this time, and the books are really cool. And especially since DC, as we've discussed before, DC did it the right way, that retailers are like, this is dumb. We've seen that these books will sell when done the right way. So why are you making it hard for us? I think they're just being more vocal about what they're not doing. I think all the people who aren't buying these books didn't exceed their numbers to get other books, if that makes any sense. It's just that they're fed up and talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion on the situation.
So I guess, and then the other side of this is, so we've got 4% of retailers, approximately.
Right.
Who have decided not to go into this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say Marvel's not going to change their practice. They're not.
Right.
Next time this comes around, is it still going to be 4%? Is it going to be 5, or are all those retailers going to come crawling back?
Now, that all depends, too, on, like you say, I'll have to see how this goes about. Because, like you said, if these books, even at 4%, climb up, do you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, these books, like I say, the wall has to stand.
Mm-hmm.
You have to stand together or divided you fall. And that's where it comes in. If it's 4% enough to drive these books up, and then 2% of those 4% will come running back to make that bigger money.
Right.
So it's a really, to me, a fluid situation right now. I need more information. I think when we come out of this, we might have what we need. But right now, this to me could swing 1,000 ways.
It's just a very interesting story that, you know, we've covered the last couple of weeks in the show, just because I think, depending on how it goes, this could really have an effect on the market, you know, for years to come, or everyone just goes crawling back in the next time that Marvel does something like this, a year from now, or 6 months from now, or whenever it is, you know?
Right, and like I said, Marvel does it all the time. Mm. It's just really cool lenticular covers this time.
Yeah.
There's always a crazy meet or exceed numbers on the variants.
Right.
And we discussed it. A lot of times you don't even know what the variants look like to get those. So,
now,
like this
and
time,
again, devil's argument there.
This time,
DC does right. The same thing.
Right, but what... But when they did their lenticular covers, we knew what they were all going to look like.
That's true.
And when they did these lenticular covers, we know what they're all going to look like. That's what's driving the demand, is knowing what the covers look like. Mm-hmm. So if they had done this before, maybe on your Jack Kirby covers for the, you know, or the whatever month that they're doing, would have driven these sales up. And like, oh my God, that Alex Ross, you know, whatever cover is amazing. I need it. But now it's just because they are so cool and they're a throwback to the old classic covers. So it brings in the classic fans and the new fans with the lenticular magic. And you know what I'm trying to say? It's just that it's the knowing. Like, otherwise this flew under the radar because nobody knew what the variants would look like until they were out. And then the market said what the books would be.
Right.
I don't know. But that's my take.
But again, it's just going to be something I'm sure we'll be talking about more on the show. That we could, you know, as we get more information, as decisions are made, more shops going on. Shops coming off, Marvel making a statement, Marvel doing something. Obviously, you know, it's something that we're both following very closely.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on to conventions this week, like I said, it's a light news week. There's a bunch of conventions happening this weekend. One I wanted to put on the list, that's called the Arkla TexCon in Texarkana, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
It's representing Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas.
That's a lot of representing.
That's right. Now, I'm not sure if that's it's happening right at a spot where all three of those states meet.
Ah, that would be fantastic.
Right. They built a structure just to put there.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other conventions happening this weekend. There is the Metacon in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which is more of your comic side of things. Mike McCone, Ryan Sook, Rags Morales. A lot of, you know, big name creators are going to be there. Then there's the Long Beach Comic Con in Long Beach, California. Your two big name guests there are Dave Gibbons and William Shatner.
Mm-hmm.
Side note, I just want to mention, someone who I work with at the Super Secret Science job, recently read Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
And if need be, I could talk about Watchmen all day.
It is a powerful book.
Right. It's been a while since we've talked about it on the show, but it was my entire lunch today. Like, I'm like, oh, I forgot to eat because I was talking about Watchmen for a half hour.
Wow, you must have been really engrossed.
Listen, I like talking about Watchmen, that's all. So, but the big one of the weekend is the San Francisco Comic Con. You've got both Art and Neil Adams being there. And on the celebrity side, you have Carrie Elwes.
Mm-hmm.
And this Capaldi guy who keeps popping around. When's this guy going to be out of our hair? I hope it's at least by Christmas.
December.
All right. That's that and something else are my Christmas presents to me. Getting this guy out of here.
Wow.
Hit the bricks, pal. I know a bunch of people that are going to the UK this weekend for a 3-day wrestling event.
Right.
Which is the first one that I'm missing of my own accord in the entire history of said event.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them I did mention to them, if they go over there, can they kick any blue police boxes that they see for me?
Oh my goodness. I don't think there's any left.
Well, I said find them.
Find them. Because, weird thing, I think BBC owns the rights to police boxes, even though they were police boxes.
Sorry, police, you can't use these to police and uphold the law. We need them for our dumb time travel show.
It's not a dumb time travel show.
That's right, it's just a dumb show. Oh,
wow.
Boy. Yeah, you walked right into that one. Something else that you could walk into is the soon-to-be-named network, Todd, at soon-to-be-named-network.com, soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com, where all the shows that, you know, essentially are people that we know, friends of ours, acquaintances, just, you know, people that we like to give them that rub, you know, kind of put us all in a conglomeration that one day when Sony or whoever buys things comes looking to like, hey, podcasts are big. We need like an already made network. We all get a payday.
We have a shared universe. Buy us.
Right. Aim Down Sights podcast, Talking Gimmicks, Paladins of Voltron, Prime Defective, Prodigal Sons podcast. They come out whenever they want. That's up to them. Podvocacy is out every week. Profane Argument is out every week. Puzzle Warriors 3 is out every week. Fresher in Parlance, every week. Sometimes they take 3 weeks off to go camping, whatever it is. And of course, this show, Long Box Heroes, we are here every week for you, nearing our 6-year anniversary, I think, of this iteration where it's just me and you.
Wow. That's a grind, baby.
Right. And the show that I didn't mention, that I saved for last, which is Long Box Heroes After Dark. Obviously, last week was Gallifrey Birds Roman numeral 8, and I do want to thank you, the listeners, because Todd, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. I keep track of things, typically with a spreadsheet of some kind.
Right, in triplicates.
And, well, the website kind of keeps track of the podcast itself. But that's still not good enough for me. I just do it in singlicate, if you will, right?
Mm-hmm.
And usually what I'll do is I look at the main show and I'll look at, like, the week numbers. Like, once the show's been up for a week, I see how many times it's been downloaded. Then I look at, like, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and I note, like, a month, right? So last week's episode of Long Box Heroes has been out for a week as of this listening. Long Box Heroes After Dark has only been out for, what, 4 days as of this?
Right.
So, in 4 days' time, the numbers on Long Box Heroes After Dark are more than that of the regular show.
They have met or exceeded the numbers on the regular
That's
show.
That's right. So, if you want we can't give you a lenticular edition of this podcast. It's just non-existent. It's an audio-only podcast. There is no visual element. However, what we are going to do to you, as a thank you to the listeners, to everyone who listens and enjoys Long Box Heroes After Dark, this week there's going to be 2 episodes of Long Box Heroes After Dark.
2?
Why are there 2 episodes of Long Box Heroes After Dark? Well, the normal episode, which normally comes out on Friday, is going to come out on Thursday. Because the episode that comes out on Friday is directly tied into something that's happening on Thursday. What's that thing that's happening on Thursday? You got to listen to Wednesday's episode to find out.
Wow, it's like a ladder. It's like a Jacob's ladder. I'll tell you though, and we're charging double for the After Darks, right?
Right. 0 times 2 is still 0, so we are charging double.
Okay.
You know, this is what we do, kind of like to thank you for any sort of bonus content or anything else like that. Mm-hmm. This is just one of those sort of things, and you can kind of listen to the germination of how it all comes together of the second episode on this week's, the first episode of After Dark. If this sounds confusing right now, I promise it's not. Once the Wednesday episode comes out, or the Thursday episode comes out, you'll understand what's going on the Friday episode. If you've enjoyed past editions of Gallifrey Birds, I think you'll enjoy this upcoming Friday's episode of Long Box Heroes After Dark. Call it a hunch. Don't pull your hair out over it. You'll get it.
Right.
So, enough of plugging ourselves in the middle of the show. Let's get into some digital sales and stuff that are going on. Stealthily, some of the sales that have been going on for a couple of weeks are still going on. That Image Brian K. Vaughan sale is now into its 3rd week. The IDW Star Trek sale is now also into its 3rd week. Comixology is doing a very poor job of advertising Dark Horse's mystery comic sale. But some of the ones that they are publicizing is Titan Doctor Who stuff. They're publicizing some Punisher stuff, I think, in conjunction with the announcement of the upcoming Netflix original series. Update on that. I watched half of episode 4 of Defenders. Half of the episode.
And a quick update on the Punisher. Did you see that they gave out the Twitter account, gave the Punisher Twitter show account put out the names of the episodes via Morse code on Twitter?
No, I missed that.
Right, so they were putting them out. It was like dot dash whatever, and then somebody had to go and decode them, and they have like the whole episode titles of the thing. And I thought that was really cool. I like when people do interesting things with stuff like that.
Todd happy that other people have to do work?
What?
Mm-hmm. So as of the recording of this episode, the day after when this actually comes out, it's Jack Kirby's birthday. He would have been 100 years old. So a bunch of his stuff that he did at Marvel is available on sale, and that's Fantastic Four, Captain America, Black Panther, Devil Dinosaur, Eternals, Machine Man, and Sergeant Fury stuff is all on sale. And DC is having a quote-unquote back-to-school sale, where it's kind of a bunch of their, like, all-ages stuff on sale. Mm-hmm. Looking over what they're offering, of course, I highly recommend the Baltazar Franco Tiny Titan stuff. That's some really, really good stuff there. The Superman Adventures stuff. Some people will say that is the best work that Mark Millar has done in his life. You be the judge and check it out yourself. The current Gotham Academy second semester book is in there as well, as is the first 10 issues of Mark Waid's Impulse is included in the sale as well. So it's a little bit of a hodgepodge, but there's a lot of good stuff in there to check out.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the links to all of the conventions that I mentioned before, all the sales that are going on, all the freebies that are happening, these will all be posted in with the show notes for you to check out at your leisure. And before yes. I sound like a fool, let me just double check. Did Marvel change their freebies?
I hope so, because I love to hear you go wild when they do.
They did change their freebies. I'm not going to go wild, but that's just one extra little step of work that I have to do. The freebies are the first issue of the Kirby Ditko, or was it Ditko did the, no, it was Stan and Jack who did the first issue of Fantastic Four. That's available for free. The first issue of All New Wolverine when X-23 officially became Wolverine. The first issue of Age of Ultron as of the very first issue from back in the 60s or what have you, or 70s rather, my apologies, in the 70s of Inhumans is free as well.
They're giving away a copy of Fantastic Four. Is that even legal to Marvel to do stuff with Fantastic Four?
Well, I think they can give out the old stuff under the conjunction that it's under the umbrella of a celebrating Jack Kirby's birthday. But I don't think they can print new stories.
Right. Or they go to jail.
Or something.
Right.
So let's get into what we read from this past week. Todd, I'm going to let you kick things off because I've talked for a while.
With Generations, The Mighty Thor, The Unworthy Thor.
I'm glad you're wasting your time saying all those words.
Words are what I'm all about. By writer Jason Aaron and artist, I'm going to butcher this, Mahmoud Asrar?
Mahmoud Asrar.
All right, if you know better than I do. Basically, this is the story of the past times Thor. Young Thor, who does not have the hammer yet. He's not worthy enough. And it's him, you know, trying to lift the hammer so we know what stage he's at. And then Odin tells him there's, you know, give up with that. There's a diplomatic affair I need you at. And while he's there, Thor gets a bunch of prayers to him from the Vikings who have made it at this time to Egypt, and they're in a big battle, so they ask for him to come to help. So he does, and through events as with the other Generations books, we're not really 100% sure why the Jane Foster Thor shows up and she helps him battle. And basically, that's the course of the book. The ancient Egyptian threat they're fighting is Apocalypse, which I thought was really cool. And it's him questioning why she has the hammer. And it's fun to see them interact. And then at the end, we get a surprising little tidbit about a romance that Odin seemed to have. So all around, if you're a fan, especially of the Thor God of Thunder run, this is a nice little nod to that, because I like King Thor, as I call him, retired Thor, and Young Thor. And Young Thor is the star of this one. So I really enjoy it, and it looked beautiful. And there's some, you know, great, you know, young, cocky Thor stuff. And, you know, Jane Foster, you know, him questioning, like I said. So if you're a fan of the Unworthy Thor or the Mighty Thor, I highly recommend this book.
Right. So a lot of people actually do not like these Generations books online, both publicly and directly, personally to me.
Mm-hmm.
Say how much they really don't like them. I've had more than one person say that this has probably been the worst issue of Thor they've ever read in their life. And I disagree. If you have been reading the Jason Aaron Thor, or really I think any Thor, but especially the Jason Aaron Thor, since the beginning, and you've been along for the ride, like, why are you going to get off now? Like, it's more of the same. Yes, there's the little thing at the end, and I think we're going to see a little bit more of that in that Marvel Legacy book that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also written by Jason Aaron. So, you know, I feel if you're going to get any of these books, this is probably going to be the one that is the most key, because it's the first appearance of Old Man Thor's relationship. But I loved Jane Foster Thor in this. I loved young, brash, not quite worthy yet Thor. And that's the thing. It's not the current iteration of Thor, who's Odin's son, who's not worthy. It's before he was even the mighty, worthy Thor.
Right.
And the thing that I also liked about this book, so I really liked it a lot. It's a beautiful book. Young Thor's dialogue was great. He comes off as such a jerk, but in a likable way. So the one thing that I thought to myself that I liked the most about this book, so I'm reading the book, and they're in Egypt, and Apocalypse shows up. And I think to myself, I'm like, oh man, I like Apocalypse, it's cool. And I think to myself, hey, I don't think Thor has ever fought Apocalypse. So I continue reading, and there's the annotation there, because something Thor says is like, you might remember when they last fought in Avengers, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, there you go. And it just reminded me, I miss those sort of annotations in comic books, and I wish they came back.
I do too. I always was a fan of that. You know, especially when they say something, it's like that implies that they met, and you're like, oh, well, where was it? And it was like, here you go. So I'm with you. I totally miss that. And I don't understand why it's not there. And when people say, oh, for the trades, I'm like, whatever. You can easily edit that stuff out for the trades.
They edit out a lot worse, and they edit in, you know, whatever. So to take out a little tiny box that says, as previously seen in XYZ,
mm-hmm.
Come on, guys.
And my take on people saying that this is, you know, the worst Thor that they've read and they want to jump off, I'm like, I don't see it. And the only thing that I do kind of get, and, you know, we try to stay positive around here, is this storyline with Thor, I think, has been stretched at times. And maybe there's a little fatigue with it. I think with the Secret Wars storyline, you know, that stretched out. And even with Civil War II, you know, you have to do some filler. There was that the story, and I actually thought that the story with the Shi'ar gods was filler until something showed up, and that ties in with this book. So I'm like, it all comes together, and I don't see what's wrong with this book. Just look at it as, yeah, somehow it ties in with Generations, and there's Jane Foster Thor is there somehow. We'll explain it to you at some point when we figure it out.
I could see people taken aback by the price point maybe on these things, that they're $5 books.
Right.
But other than that, I think, you know, this fits right in with my existing Jason Aaron Thor collection.
Right. And you know what would have made it worth $5, Joe?
What would that be?
A lenticular cover.
Now, see, those I think they whack you $6, don't they, or no? Are those?
Oh, I don't know.
We'll never know.
That's true.
And I'm okay with that.
Me too.
So moving on to a book that has many variant covers, none of them lenticular. Archie number 23, written by Mark Waid, with art by Audrey Mock. The beginning of a new story arc, but kind of sort of the continuation of the previous story arc, because the previous story arc was only 3 issues. So without giving too much away, but they do in the preview, so I feel safe in talking about it. Do they? I don't want to give, like I said, I don't like spoiling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they kind of led us to believe at first someone was going to die in the previous story arc, right? With the drag race thing. Then it turns out that as a result of Betty trying to stop the drag race from happening, she ends up paralyzed and possibly in a wheelchair for the rest of her life.
Right.
This issue is how the rest of Riverdale, from the students at the school all the way up to the adults, finally realize, with Betty not being there, how much she does for not only all of them individually, but the entire town as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those books that I cannot stress enough is so good. If you have some sort of preconceived notion of what an Archie comic is, this book's been going on now for, what, the better part of 3 years?
Right.
Get over yourself. Check it out. Now, it's nothing like Riverdale. They have a separate book for that. But if you just want good, basic, human interest, down-to-earth stories with characters that you recognize, because I think everyone pretty much is aware of who, like, your Archie and your Betty, your Veronica and Jughead are, to
right,
some
the
extent.
Main ones, at least.
What was that?
At least the main ones.
Right. You know, when you get into Dilton Doily, I think you might need a little bit of an explanation there. But other than that, this has been a great book. It's been a great book continuously. I kicked myself that I fell a little bit behind on it. But now, because of the last 4 issues of this, it is a top-of-the-pile book every time it comes out.
Now, I loved this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get towards the end, Mark Waid does know how to bubble up some emotions.
Yes.
For people, and this is another one. I think the last issue that we read had a little bit more for me, but this one does it. There's only one small problem I want to talk about with you with the book, is that they discuss how everybody's mad at Reggie
mm-hmm.
for what happened, right? And there's a scene where they're trying to figure out how they're going to, you know, to help the town the way Betty does. And Archie walks in, and they're like, hey, guys, what are you doing? They all have a look, and then they're like, at first I thought they were mad at Archie for being involved in what happened to Betty, and then it seems like, no, they don't want him to help because they know what happens when Archie helps. Do you know what I mean?
Right, he's a bit of a klutz.
And they show that happens. There's a bunch of jokes that happens when he tries to help out with their volunteering, but I think, and I'm wondering if it's going to play out later, like, don't you think that there should be some hard feelings towards Archie for being in the drag race that did what it did to Betty? Like, they want to kill Reggie, but they're giving Archie a pass, even though we know he loves her, but if he hadn't gotten suckered into the race, none of this would have happened. And my thing is, I trust Mark Waid,
right?
And I have a feeling that that's going to come up later, but I just don't know. In my head, I'm like, maybe right here is where we should have mentioned something. But then again, I'm not Mark Waid. He knows better than I do. But do you see my
yes.
point at least a little bit?
100%. You bring that up, and I'll mention this. To you, Todd, to me, mm-hmm. to the readers of this comic book, what do you think is going to have more of an emotional punch? When the entire town puts the blame on Archie?
Ooh, I see where you're going.
Or just Betty does?
Right, like you should have known better.
Right.
Okay, fair enough.
And she's the one who forgives Reggie.
Because Reggie's a dirtbag.
Right.
It's like it's in your nature. You're the scorpion. You're the turtle or the frog or whatever, Archie. You shouldn't have done this.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. But in my mind, I was kind of like, okay. And I didn't see that because Tech, like, without spoilers, anything, he doesn't talk to Betty in this issue much. So, yeah, okay.
Right.
I
I think because of that,
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, that's going to build to a point.
Fair enough. You know what? You should be writing Archie. You should be co-writing Archie
nope.
with Mark Waid.
Nope. I think Mark Waid is doing a fantastic job in that book.
I'm just kidding. Yes.
And he doesn't need dumb me getting in his way.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
So the last book that we're going to discuss is Dr. Aphra Annual Number 1, written by Kieran Gillen. with art by Mark Lemming. And this is the secret origin of Curse Santan. Is that his name?
I say Curse Santan.
Curse Santan.
I don't know. Good enough.
Santander Arena. So you wanted to put this on the list. So yeah, it's just the secret origin of, I'll call him the evil Chewy. And yeah, that's really what this is. It's his secret origin.
Two reasons I wanted to put this on the list. Reason number one is we brought back annual, so
okay.
I like to support them. Two is I just have a question. This is a good story about the evil Chewbacca's story, mirror universe Chewbacca, whatever you want to call him. Great story about like his origin, how he had a rough bit of it, but maybe he was asking for that rough bit.
Mm-hmm.
But did you know he was part robot? I'm finding out for the first time here.
Well, I don't think that he's part robot, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely seems as though
he's enhanced.
He's got like Wolverine claws or something.
Right, he has, because I'm at up to this point, you know, because the Wookiees have that fur that covers their hands and stuff you see a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if we were supposed to know he had weird metal hands.
I don't think we were supposed to know.
Right, it's weird because all of a sudden I'm reading this book and I'm like, I feel like a dum-dum. Did I miss something? Or is this his plan all along? If that makes, and I was like, did Joe notice this? And I just, you know what I mean? He's, for that one time in the history of the show, Joe's smarter than me. I don't know. I had to ask.
Let's not go crazy.
Right. So I'm guessing you didn't see it either.
No, I did not.
Okay. Right. And then basically the plot of this story is Dr. Aphra has a plan to get the word out about the Rur stone or whatever it is, the Jedi thing that she has. And this is how she, I think, set up the sale that she was doing in the last storyline.
Right.
So this seems like a bit of a like a past story in the run. But I really enjoyed it, and it was cool to see the origin of evil Chewbacca, which I think we're going to get more, we're going to get that parceled out. If you know what I mean. So we'll get a little bit more each time. So I'm looking forward to it.
Right. There's more to be seen, I think, of this because, you know, you have those reporters or whatever they are. They come around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and again, those characters were a little interesting, but they felt a little too new, if that makes any sense.
Like
they
I would
felt a little
say,
too current.
I would say too rushed is what they were.
Okay.
Like, do you mean current as in they seem too much like current day stuff around us?
Yes.
Okay.
They have feel and the attitude of people who I've not seen in a Star Wars film before.
Fair enough. That wasn't my problem with the characters. My problem was they seemed very rushed to get the Chewbacca story and to get what, Dr. Aphra's story was what she was trying to do that we didn't get. All we got was icing, no cake with these two characters. And I actually want to see more. I hope that, you know, he weaves the characters in the monthly. So, but I don't feel that they're too current, like too like everyday Earth now. So. But I like them.
Well, it's not even so much as everyday Earth, but more so of everyday comics.
Okay.
Like, I could believe that a Dr. Aphra type would be in a Star Wars type movie.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe that these two characters would be in a Star Wars type movie.
I could. Hey, after we saw the diner owner in the prequels, anybody can be in a Star Wars. Or Watto.
They made prequels to Star Wars?
Yeah, they did.
You make a movie?
Yeah, Rogue One was a prequel.
Mm.
So don't be giving me that,
I thought
Joe.
That was just the first part of New Hope.
That was the prologue.
Gotcha. That's what it felt like.
It did.
All right, so that covers what we've read from this past week. let's get into what we're looking forward to coming out this week. If you head over to longboxheroes.com every Tuesday around 5:30 Eastern Standard Time or so, we put up the poll post, which is a link to all the books that are coming out this week, whether you get your books in print, whether you get them digitally, whether you get them mailed to your home, whether you get them sent to your house in a giant oversized collection of a book that I forgot even happened from 10 plus years ago, like one of the books that Todd has on his list, which was a nice surprise when I saw it in the solicitations. But the two things that Todd and I are attempting to do is, one, guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out. This week, Todd has a one-book correct guess lead over me. The other is calculating and tabulating the books that we have purchased over the course of the calendar year 2017. Next year is dollar amount, possibly as well or in place of. We shall see. That's a whole other year from now.
That's right. We have to discuss that.
Right.
Maybe at dinner sometime.
So I am looking at your list. Oh, dinner sometime. I wonder when we'd get time to do that.
Who knows?
Okay. So, looking at your list, it's a short week. It's the end of the month. It's the end of a five Wednesday month. So I'm going to guess the book you're most looking forward to coming out is Saga number 46.
Yes, it is, and I'm going to guess the same thing with you.
Saga number 46. Could have went with Infamous Iron Man number 11, but, again, not the ultimate episode issue. It's the penultimate issue.
Right. And was there a reason you left the omnibus off? Just because it's not new stuff?
It's not new stuff.
Okay, because you have left stuff up there that wasn't new stuff before.
It's in the picture.
All right, I'm just saying.
The reason I didn't include it because it didn't count in the count for the single issues. You know what I mean? It's not a single issue, I guess.
Okay, I just thought it was stuff that you know what I mean? Like, I understand that it wouldn't count towards the issues.
I'm almost certain. Oh, why did I take it out of your actual things that you're purchasing?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't want to muddy the issue.
Fair enough. You've muddied it before. That's all I'm saying. Right. We'll move on.
I'm done muddying the issue.
Right.
So while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to click around at all the stuff that we've done in the past. Everything that Todd and I have ever done comic book related on the internet is at longboxheroes.com, whether it be past poll posts, past editions of this show, past After Darks. The Pigskin Pick'em stuff is there, and what, the season officially starts next week?
Right, as this comes out, we'll probably have almost exactly 1 week to get into the tourney if you want to.
Right, so I do have confirmation from Asa that he does want to do it again, but that was confirmation like a week or two ago, and he's probably forgot.
Oh, well, you're going to bring it back up to him?
I certainly am.
Right.
Certainly am.
I was curious on how you were going
to
do that.
But getting him to record these sort of things might be difficult only because now that he's a going to school man. That's right.
Well, see, the way I look at it is you could have Asa pick wins with your one account, and in the other account you have in the pool, you could pick your own.
Come on now. What would it be like, Todd, if both... my account and Word's account had the exact same picks every single week. Would that throw you more onto the scent, or if we had despairingly different picks?
I think despairingly different. Because how would he know your picks?
And Todd, this year, we have to present in person the winner a prize.
Mm-hmm.
So if Words wins...
Oh, boy. We'll just have to get him. Are you just going to hand the prize to a mirror?
Not after November, I won't.
Oh, boy. We'll just put a glove on a mirror and you could drop it into that.
Anyway, while you're also over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to click our little button for the store, which where we have stickers, which are the best, shirts, which are also the best, no pins, pins stink. that you could purchase with our fancy logo on it with the art designed by our good friend DC Comics Extraordinaire, the only official Colonel Sanders artist in comics, Tom Derenick. If you don't want a shirt, don't want a sticker, I'm not sure why you wouldn't. You could click on the Amazon click through at the top of the page. You pay nothing extra, and we get a little bit of a kickback from Amazon because that's how nice they are to help us out. That's how much they like this show. They want to help us out. Some of the notable purchases through the Amazon click through this past week, Todd. Someone purchased the digital edition of the made-for-TV movie Stephen King's It. I guess getting themselves ready for the upcoming remake.
Right.
Someone also purchased the Schick Hydro Razor with flip trimmer.
Ooh.
Someone also purchased an extra fancy Senso Bluetooth headphone wireless with microphone.
Ooh.
And also someone purchased a Coffee Mate Mini Creamer 9-flavor assortment, package of 36.
Was that you?
No.
You do like your creamers.
You know what? I'll say this. I like coffee. I like a little bit of cream in my coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But I just saw the company International Delights.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know Todd has rallied against Big Pumpkin, and I'm not a pumpkin spice, right, Hork and fiber chunk fan myself. But International Delights... I've yet to find it. I've seen the video pop up in my sponsored ads on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
They have a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Coffee Mate.
Oh, boy.
That and I want.
And if they send it to your house, you won't lose your car when you go to buy them.
I've been good since that time.
I only lost my car in an empty parking lot once.
Right. That's how many times my dad hung me on a hook.
Okay. One time.
Once.
One time. Johnny Dangerously references.
He's named after your favorite professional wrestling manager, Jim Clarinet.
Oh, boy.
So, did we have any Todd's Art Attacks this week, Todd?
Yes, we did. Jason Sandberg sent in a painting that he did himself. Here's one of my Kirby-inspired paintings. Enjoy. It's the Kurtzberg UFO. So it's actually something that he did. And then someone else sent to me, and I, Todd, arted it, that it was a Stiff Peg Pete had a Peter Krause Daredevil sketch that he got.
That he was at with the... Foucault Comic-Con, whatever that is.
I'm going to go with the Foucault Comic-Con.
All right. And Jason, I'm sorry I missed your initial Todd's Art Attack there, but I did just go ahead and retweet that out. That is really awesome. You should be very proud of yourself. You're a very talented individual if you did paint that.
It's got a lot of the crackle going on.
And everybody likes that.
Who doesn't like a little bit of the release the crackle?
Nope. So, last but not least, of course, is Todd and Joe Have Issues, which is Batman number 424. This was your pick, so I'm going to let you take point on this.
Basically, this is a story where young Jason Todd hears this sound coming from an apartment. He goes in to help. He gets in a little bit over his head because... they're starting to establish that Jason Todd might be a little hot-headed. And in the course, we find out that a person with diplomatic immunity is assaulting a woman, and they take him to the Gotham police station, and they figure out they're not going to be able to hold him, and he's been terrorizing this woman already. And it's the fact that Jason Todd burns with the fact that this guy's going to get away. So him and Batman, start watching him a lot until they can catch him in the act and do something that will, with cocaine, which is different, that will get him sent home with Spectrox. And, that happens and they catch him and they're going to send him home. But he, calls the woman one last time saying, he terrorizes her, and they go to the house to check on her apartment, and she has tragically ended her life by hanging herself. So Batman and Robin Robin leaves and goes to the apartment and may or may not have pushed him off the balcony. And this was the beginning, like I said, of the dark turn that Jason Todd had, which slowly went into the death of Death in the Family storyline with the famous 1-900 number calling in whether he lived or died. And I had never read this issue. This was on a run of issues that was on a list of the greatest of all time. And I thought I'd throw this in here because I thought it would be interesting to have a bat book on here and, read it. I'm going to let you go first. What did you think of the issue?
Okay. So in doing my research and my due diligence, as I want to do, for Todd and Joe Have Issues, I knew that Jason Todd, you know, Jason Todd, I kind of consider the forgotten Robin, right? Cause he was probably Robin for the shortest amount of time. He was Robin at a time when there was no Robin in the prevailing version of media or the version of media that was coming out, which was the hype for the upcoming Michael Keaton Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no Robin in there, and, you know, the previous iterations of Robin, at least in the popular culture, was kind of hokey, you know?
Right.
Not cool, as it were. So, like I said, this is, as mentioned, the kind of forgotten Robin, Jason Todd. And you mentioned also about how this was like the ramp up to Death in the Family, which starts 2 issues later.
Right.
So when this issue came out, the wheels were already in motion of having that 900 line in place of whether or not they were going to kill him off.
Right.
I liked the story. It was a very straightforward, a very basic Batman story. A very different Batman story in the fact that it was interesting to see a post-crisis, post-year one, post-Frank Miller Batman not making quips, but a little bit more lighthearted.
Almost like a hint of Adam West's.
Almost.
Right, like where he's calling him, like, buddy and stuff like that.
Right.
And the other thing with it is, now, first of all, I want to touch on your due diligence and stuff like that. Because Robin is, Jason Todd was around longer than people think, but people forget that Jason Todd had two origins.
Right, the pre-crisis and the post-crisis origin.
Right, because this is the one, this Jason Todd is the one that's the famous stealing the wheels off the Batmobile.
Right.
And people forget because he had such a bland origin. Do you know what his original origin was?
Remind me.
He was an acrobat whose family was killed by some. It was basically the Dick Grayson origin. They just carbon copied it. And then they were like, no, we need to change this. And they made the rough background and everything with Jason Todd. So I don't know, like, if I think the wheels might have even been set in motion shortly after they stole the wheels off the Batmobile. Like, they had a plan, if that makes any sense. They were like, all right, this Robin isn't working as the doppelganger to Dick Grayson. Let's do something different and maybe move, because there's rumors that they were talking about moving him out of the picture earlier. Like, there's an interview with Jim Starlin who said, like, yeah, they knew. And then he walked it back that it was kind of like that Tim Drake was already in the, they, maybe not Tim Drake, but the wheels were set in motion to replace him. There's a lot of, like, legends around all of this. But it's interesting fact that Jim Starlin wrote this issue, which, you know, a lot of people don't think of him doing, like, Batman, you know, crime books. But my one problem with the book was, like, yeah, it seemed very hokey at times, especially post Frank Miller era. Like, them following the criminal in the Batmobile. And it's like, oh, we have to be inconspicuous. I'm like, you're in the Batmobile. Made me laugh. And some other stuff. Like, it just seemed like Batman was like, yeah, I just walk around town as Batman. I just go in the precinct and I, like, say hi to the secretary. It was very weird. It was, I don't think this story holds up as well as thought it would.
So you have this iteration of Batman, right? Kind of hokey, kind of a little bit of a nod to, you know, the Adam West stuff. And then there's a lot of just stuff about suicide and cocaine and nose candy and blow. And
right.
I think they use the wrong terminology for how measurements of cocaine are distributed. Not that I would know.
Right. I think they said lid. And yes. I'm like, I don't think there's lids of cocaine.
So. At least not the way I do it. What? Right. I do them out of a web in a cave on a distant planet.
Okay.
Is that where they get the Spectrox from?
Yes, they get that from an... Yes, you're right.
See, look at me retaining knowledge about that thing.
Yep.
But it was fine. It just, you know, knowing what we know about Jason Todd and what he would become, you know, and I mentioned in the little write-up there that Tim Drake replaces him as Robin less than a year later, and then we're like 6 years later that Jason Todd comes back as the Red Hood, and now he's just back as though he was never gone.
No, did he replace him a year later? Because I know the one thing that I did like about Tim Drake was that when he showed up, he didn't immediately throw the costume on. Remember, like, it was like, no, I'm not worthy. And I really liked that about the Tim Drake. So I'm wondering where he showed up and then how long it was till he was Robin. Do you know what I mean?
So he shows up. Okay. So, if I'm doing my gazintas, going by cover dates, the cover date of the first issue of Death in the Family is December of 1988. Okay? Tim Drake shows up in the Batman books in August of 89, and right. is Robin December of 89.
Oh, wow. That's not as long as I thought.
Right.
Okay. I was wrong.
It happens to the best of us, and it happens to you as well.
That's my one for this show forever.
Now, if it makes you feel any better, I think at the time, they may have been publishing Batman at that point bi-weekly.
They might have been.
Right.
So there was more issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm looking at it as August to December, and I have it up on Wikipedia, and it says, you know, August 89, Batman 436, but it's as Robin and Batman 442. So that's more than
right.
four issues. So maybe it was twice a month back then.
Yeah.
So that might be the way I'm remembering it. Okay. Cool beans. But, and then, like you said, when you came back as Red Hood, which was probably one of the biggest follow-ups in comic book history after that whole Hush thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I think we might have even done lots on that before. But, man, was that a missed opportunity to be Hush and that cool Jim Lee-designed outfit, and they end up making him – the person who killed him. He's like, I'll don the costume that the guy who killed me wore before he became the guy who killed me. There's just a whole bunch of problems I have with Jason Todd as Red Hood,
yeah.
which as Hush would have been so much better.
Sadly, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say this as a plug. Next week on Podvocacy for their Summer of Shame, the movie that David has to watch, assigned to him by Jason, is the animated Under the Red Hood Batman deal.
I never saw that, so I don't know how good or bad that okay. is.
So it'll be interesting to see. Jason was a big fan of it. It'll be interesting to see what David thinks of it. I have my opinions that I'll reserve for their comments section when the episode comes out on Tuesday.
Fantastic.
In a strongly worded comment.
You are known for your strong words.
Uh-huh. You keep saying that for some reason. I don't know why.
I know. My phrases are just flowing naturally. That's all I can say.
So, next week's Todd and Joe Have Issues is Amazing Spider-Man number 698.
Hmm. That one seems familiar to me.
This is a retelling of Spider-Man's origin. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Mm. I vaguely remember this issue. I think it was a big issue, too. But anyway.
I'm not going to say anything else about it. But we're far enough removed from that issue being a thing that I feel confident that any things that you may, and I say you as the royal you, may know about that, you know, probably has escaped. But again, we'll see. I picked it for a reason. I like it a lot. That's all.
What year was that? Do you know?
It was a more recent issue. 2012?
Oh my god, I feel old. That issue's 5 years old already.
Ugh.
Where does it all go, Joe?
In the turlet.
Yep. Right. Interesting choice. I'm looking forward to
it. Yep. So, yeah, I think that's everything. Did I forget anything this time? I think I did okay.
Nope. After the bell rings, you have to explain Secret Empire to me.
Thank you for reminding me. Okay. So, for Todd, this is Joe, closing out episode 361 of Longbox Heroes, and we will catch you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boop! Okay. So, Secret Empire, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know the gist of it. Steve Rogers is Hydra.
Right.
He takes over the world. Certain heroes join up with him as his new Avengers for various reasons. You know, like Dr. Octopus. Vision gets reprogrammed. Scarlet Witch is brainwashed. Deadpool's Magneto. On the team, but he has second thoughts about it.
Is Magneto on the team?
No.
Okay, good.
So... then around the middle of the series, another Steve Rogers appears, right?
Right.
If you remember back to 2 years ago, talking about being old, the Avengers standoff book, where right. they used the cosmic cube to turn, old Steve Rogers back into young Steve Rogers.
Right. Which was hinted at was when they reprogrammed him. It's not mind control.
Right. So during that time was when the cosmic cube became sentient as that little girl.
Mm-hmm.
So the little girl created another Steve Rogers because she feels bad about what she did in making the other Steve Rogers a agent of Hydra. So right. she made another Steve Rogers to come back to fight and defeat the evil Steve Rogers and take back the mantle of being Steve Rogers. So now, and she's the, and like Steve Rogers and she are the only ones that know this. So now Steve Rogers is back. He's a baby face, but he was the one who was out there doing all of these horrible things.
So you're saying he's a baby face, but in all the people's minds, he has heat.
He's a heel.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
So now does
he remember
yes.
being a heel? Or yes. is he like well, no. or is he like he's
he
like
was
wow,
never
I remember
heel, but he knows that there that he, a different version of himself, was a heel.
But he has he knows of it, but he has all the memories of the good Steve.
Correct.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like
yes.
He's like a restore point on a computer. It's like,
yes.
this is up until the Hydra moment. This is everything that Steve was. And now he comes out of it and he's like, oh, I have to fight this evil version of me or whatever. So, okay. I think I understand what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Now there is some question. Of course, because the solicitation stuff. For issue 10 of Secret Empire.
Right.
Says stuff like, what is the vanishing point? Find out in Secret Empire number 10.
And it's not there, huh?
Confirmed. Secret Empire's vanishing point is the key to generations. None of that's mentioned in this issue. Now, it all could be in the Secret Empire Omega book that comes out. You know, the extra 11th issue that they add, or the extra 12th issue that they added on, because there was the Free Comic Day book, which was zero. This got extended from an 8-issue miniseries to a 10-issue miniseries, and then they add the Omega on there to make it a 12-issue miniseries.
Wasn't there a Free Comic Book Day Secret Empire? And
yeah,
then
that's the zero issue.
No, I thought there was a Secret Empire Free Comic Book Day, and then there was a zero.
No, because last year, remember, Civil War II was the Free Comic Book Day, and it was also the zero issue.
Okay, I get confused.
Yeah, that's what they did this time.
But they were all important.
They said every crossover mattered. I don't know.
Interesting. So they didn't. So I can't wait to figure out how Generations ties into all this.
Oh boy. We'll see.
Okay. Well, thank you for explaining that to me.
No problem. Now, this is me not reading the entirety of it, just kind of reading loose plot synopses.
Right.
And, you know, reading the Washington Post or whatever article about the spoilers of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, at least it wasn't the Cosmic Cube fixing everything. Like, Spencer said that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, that's not what happened.
Right, but it's the same way that it wasn't mind control. You see what I'm getting at?
I do, Todd.
I think someone's splitting hairs, if you know what I mean.
I do.
That's all I'm saying.
Anyway.
All right. Was that all recorded?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Okay. I'm glad I didn't curse or nothing.
Well, that's why I did the GD MF. He's a heel.
Oh, is that what you were saying? Yeah. I was lost. All right, cool beans. I guess we're done then.
All right, yes, thanks for listening to this end part. Hopefully, if you didn't want Secret Invasion spoiled for you, you didn't listen.
Right.
Good night, everybody.